Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our readings speak of mountaintop experiences. Experiences we wish could go on forever. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here." Peter was so excited to see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah that he even suggested putting up some shelters for them. But Moses and Elijah would not be staying. Instead, the events of their departure back into heaven would turn this mountaintop experience into, probably one of the scariest experiences of their entire lives. Moses had longed to see the things the disciples saw. Exodus 33 says that Moses said to the Lord, "Please show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see my face and live.' And the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on a rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you into the cleft of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand. You shall not see my face, but you shall see my back. And so my face shall not be seen.'" Thus far the reading. In an act of divine mercy, the Lord protected Moses from his heart's desire. For to see God in all his divine glory would be too much for a sinner to bear. So the Lord put his hand in front of Moses until he passed by, protecting Moses from harm. Moses did not see the face of God, but he did get a glimpse of the divine presence. In our Old Testament reading today, the Lord, having confirmed his covenant with the people, told Moses to come up onto the mountain to worship him from afar and to bring with him Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of the people. And after worshiping the Lord from afar, they ate and they drank in the presence of God. They shared a fellowship meal with the God of the universe. Evidence of God's mercy, evidence of God's covenant of grace. They saw that his feet stood on pavement made of sapphire blue, as if the Lord was standing on the sky itself. And yet, as the Almighty stood there, his outstretched hand was not raised against them. By the blood of the covenant, he will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. For the appearance of the glory of the Lord is like a devouring fire in the sight of the people. And thus the fellowship, the alliance of the children of Israel with the majestic God was perfected. And though they were sinful people, they stood in the presence of God's holiness. They stood in the presence of God's divine justice. These things bear witness of the blessings of the souls who are redeemed by Christ, those who experience God's eternal kingdom, even now. After these things, Moses found himself summoned by God to a private interview, to stay longer. Perhaps this is why Peter thought maybe they should stay longer. Maybe he was thinking of that. But the Lord invited Moses to stay longer that he might receive his commandments. God prepared his commandments for the teaching of his people, writing them with his own hand, and he would give them to Moses. As our reading said a minute ago, then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the sixth day, the Lord called Moses to come closer. To come closer. So into the divine radiance of Almighty God, Moses entered. Through the fiery flame of unapproachable justice, the justice of God, Moses entered. Through the lightnings of the flaming swords of the cherubim, Moses entered. Moses came near that he might receive from the hand of God the Ten Commandments. And yet, like those of old, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the fiery furnace, Moses was unharmed. The Lord will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. And Moses stayed with the Lord in the cloud on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Through the blood of the covenant sprinkled on the people, Moses and the people of Israel were received into full fellowship with God. In the same way, we Christians are brought into true fellowship with God through the precious blood of Jesus shed on a cross. But Peter, James, and John still didn't fully understand that about Jesus. So when the bright cloud overshadowed them, the cloud that was just like the one that consumed Mount Sinai, their hearts were filled with fear, because sinful man cannot withstand the full revelation of God's divine glory. But as we consider the fear of these men, we are reminded of two things. One, our Lord is a consuming fire. But two, and probably better than that, we are able to approach him because of Jesus, in and through him. And so even in our time, Jesus still sets before us this same image of himself, bringing forth mercy instead of judgment, bringing forth life instead of death. For in and through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through the words of absolution that we shared a little bit ago, in the very ministry of God's divine word, Christ shows himself in a manner that we can take hold of him. Not too long before these events, not too long before this mountaintop experience, Jesus had asked these men, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and some say, well, maybe you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus narrowed it down, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." So in the sights and sounds of the experiences reminiscent of Moses on the mountain for 40 days, here at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' question was answered. And Peter's faith was confirmed, for there stood Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And while Peter was still speaking, the text says that, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Jesus is not a mere human being, as some would assert. He's not just an angel, as some would assert. He was not only truthful and wise and powerful, he is the eternal truth. He is wisdom itself. Jesus is God. He can accomplish through his power everything he has said and everything that he has promised, for his word will never pass away. So when he says, like he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with him in paradise," he makes it happen. In the knowledge that sinful man cannot stand in the presence of God's holiness, in the knowledge that sinful man cannot stand in the presence of God's divine justice, the disciples fell on their faces and they were terrified. Unlike Moses, there was no cleft in the rock where God would hide them from his divine glory. Or was there? There was Jesus. Acknowledging Jesus as the beloved Son, the fulfillment of his own covenant of grace, the booming voice of the majestic glory born from heaven commanded, "Listen to him." And with that, the first thing Jesus said, the first thing these men would listen to after that, were words of assurance. "Rise, have no fear." It's as if Jesus was saying, "You don't need to be afraid because you're with me and you're my friends." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus, the one to whom they must listen. Not long after these events, Peter would find himself trying to encourage a troubled church, trying to encourage them towards faithfulness. He would admonish Christians to see no one but Jesus. He would admonish Christians to listen to Jesus. It seems that nothing is new under the sun. After Jesus ascended to heaven, false teachers wormed their way into the church, promoting sinful lifestyles and questioning whether or not Jesus was real or if he would even return for judgment. Peter admonished Christians to listen to Jesus, to see no one but Jesus. He told them that Jesus is the Lord and that he had personally witnessed Jesus in his divine heavenly glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then Peter went on to say, don't take my word for it. We have something that's more sure, even than my own word, the prophetic word, the scriptures, to which you would do well to pay attention, he admonished them. As the voice of God proclaimed of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I love. Listen to him. So also Peter admonishes us, as he admonished the church, to cling to God's word, to cling to the Bible, to study it, to read it, to memorize it. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. Persecution and the mockery of false teachers had dampened the hopes of the early Christians. Scoffers insisted that they could live any way they wanted because in their minds the fires of judgment had gone out. In their minds, Jesus would not return or could not return or couldn't do anything about it. And so Peter reminds his readers and us that the Lord is patient. But he also reminds us that God's fiery punishment for the wicked is certain. He promises eternal life for all who believe in Jesus. These things are sure. The Lord will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. He will show mercy to those he would show mercy. These things of which we read today go deeper than just a matter of seeing the face of God or not seeing the face of God. These things are the revelation of God's only begotten Son sent to die on a cross so that he might show his grace and his mercy to sinners. Make no mistake, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the evil of the earth will be exposed. In that day, the last and glorious day when the Lord returns to stretch out his almighty hand in judgment upon the ungodly, in that same day when the Lord's holiness and his justice draw near, in that day he will make known to you his goodness, for his goodness will pass before you, and you won't need to hide from him in a cleft of a rock. In that day, Jesus will not only cover you with his hand as he did with Moses to protect you, he'll reach out as he did to his friends, and he will touch you, and he'll say, stand. You don't need to be afraid. Just like he said to his friends. All the ruin and frustration with which man's sin has disfigured God's good world will pass away. In that day, paradise will be restored. Until that day, let us look to Jesus alone. Let us listen to him. The transfiguration of Jesus confirms that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The mountaintop experience of Jesus' transfiguration is a foretaste of the coming glory that we will experience as life in heaven. And though we are still troubled by the cares and the ills of this life, every believer shares in this same vision, the same vision of what is to come, life in glory with Jesus. The day when we too will worship in the presence of Almighty God and we won't be afraid, but we will proclaim as Peter did, 'tis good, Lord, to be here. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.